Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
The Jets getting ready to face the Miami Dolphins for the second time this season. Their week four meeting was a disaster. Both teams have changed a lot since then. We'll get you ready for that one. Dane Brugler's latest mock draft is out. We'll check in on where he has the Jets picking, where and who. We'll also take a look at the Jets' impending free agents. A first look at that. And of course, our weekly picks. Tim McMaster here along with Zach Rosenblatt. Thanks for joining the Flight Plan Podcast. Please like the show wherever you're watching or listening. Welcome to the Baggage Handlers. If you guys are checking out on YouTube, 5-star reviews all around. End of the year, that really gives us a help. And we're going to read some reviews as we get towards the holidays here on Apple. So get some good ones in. Witty, funny, as long as there's 5 stars, we'll go through those and read a bunch of those. Zach, how you doing?
I'm good. I didn't mention this when we were preparing for the pod, but a funny thing happened with the Steelers yesterday, and it reminded me of our time covering Sir Aaron Rodgers, where not only the game the other day, which was the full Aaron Rodgers experience of he has to make sure everybody knows how hurt he is so he can be a hero. He has to, but also gives him the leeway to, you know, hypothetically blame the injury if he has to, and then throwing teammates under the bus in a post game. Quote, but the thing I was focused on was last night when our good friend Mike Florio decided to attack another group of reporters for not being hard enough on his good old buddy Aaron, who he's obsessed with. And the best part was, like, he was off on it because he only saw like a 2.5-minute clip, and he's like, well, they didn't ask any questions about his comments about his teammates the other day. Well, it turned out they did actually ask a question about it. Instead of changing the headline, you just put like an update at the bottom of the article. Like the Steelers reporters and all a bunch of other reporters were going at him. Then he like just basically pretended like he didn't do that. I tweeted at one of the Steelers reporters who I was like, you guys got this much earlier in the process than we did. It took until like the second year for him to start attacking our integrity as journalists or whatever. Like the guy sitting on his couch at home or whatever in his big old fancy office and doesn't ever actually go to press conferences himself. So, but I mean, it is to the comment you just put on the Florio stuff is funny, but honestly, so is the Rodgers stuff, because in the beginning of the year, it seemed like my opinion that it wouldn't go well there wasn't exactly going great. But I also was in week one. I was one of the ones who was the loudest saying I did not think he even played well in that Jets game. I thought he looked old, and now you get into the latter half of the season. He's afraid to take any hits. Like his arm is like fractured. His wrist is like fractured. The Steelers look like kind of a mess, and that division has got to be the worst in the NFL that they're in. The Ravens don't look good. The Bengals look pretty good, but their defense still isn't good enough, probably. And they're too far gone. Unless like they all finish 7-10 or something crazy like that. Like just a brutal division, and I don't know who's gonna make it. Probably the Ravens, just by they'll stumble in there, but anyway, it's kind of, all of it's funny. The whole Rodgers thing and having to be able to watch it from a distance is also kind of nice.
It just felt like if there was a team, if there was an organization, head coach, franchise, like that could deal with the Aaron Rodgers experience, like it was going to be the Steelers, right? Like, even though there's a little bit of, I don't want to say heat on Tomlin coming into the season, but like maybe the seat was like slightly warm based on, but like still every year winning record year after year, even though they haven't been winning playoff games. And you know, they do things the right way. And they, it seems like when players aren't a good fit, the Steelers are never afraid to just get rid of them and like to keep the locker room good and to keep,
although that didn't work out very well with that didn't work out very well with Pickens, by the way. Getting rid of him looks like a disaster now.
Yeah, that's true. But like, yeah. And
but yeah, you're
here
right.
We go. Aaron Rodgers, no team is safe.
I mean, it's kind of perfect that he might be the one to take down Tomlin, if we're being honest. Like Tomlin might not finish with a winning record for the first time. Like, that's crazy.
And the Hall of Fame,
and it's with Rodgers coming in supposedly to be the guy to fix it all for them. And they don't have a quarterback. The worst, like, they have not even a great situation because they don't even have a quarterback in the pipeline. Anyway, we don't need to go too deep into the Steelers, but like the
and
Rodgers,
they're not going to be bad enough to get a quarterback.
Get one.
They're just in a tough. I mean, really, they.
And they're old. They have a really old team.
Ben Roethlisberger out of their hat. Like, that was a situation, right, where he was a later pick, but like they hit the jackpot. Yeah, we'll see. You cannot stay good in the NFL forever. It's just a fact. Like, the way the league is set up, eventually you're going to have to bottom out. Ideally, I mean, hurts to say this, right, looking around, but like ideally you do what the Patriots did, which is bottom out for like 2 years, get the quarterback, get the coach, and suddenly you're look like a Super Bowl contender again. But even that, like the Patriots were bad for two seasons and now they seem to be back, but like eventually it catches up with anyone. And maybe finally the Steelers,
the Ravens historically are always just, they just find themselves in it, but they look like a mess right now too. So going to be an interesting offseason. I'm curious to see if Harbaugh and Tomlin are coaching those teams next year. Like that's like a underrated thing going into the offseason.
Yeah, I would bet they both are. That's just my bet. They both survive, and then next year
odds
they're
are
finally really on the hot seat, and we see how it goes next year. But we got a long way to go. All right, let's start with the mock draft. Dane Brugler's update is out this week based on the current standings of the teams. So it is interesting. He's got the Jets, obviously, with two first-round picks. He has, we'll start at the top, and then we'll work our way down to the Jets.
Yeah.
Cleveland trading up to number one from Tennessee, number five, and taking Fernando Mendoza, quarterback obviously out of Indiana. Then he has the Raiders trading up to number two from the Giants and grabbing Dante Moore out of Oregon, assuming that Moore comes out, which we were saying, like, it seems like it goes back and forth on Moore. But I feel like if that's the thought, he's going to go two, he probably comes out. Number three, New Orleans, Arvel Reese, edge rusher from Ohio State. Number four, the Giants, Carnell Tate, wide receiver from Ohio State, which that one was interesting to me because I hadn't checked in on mocks in a while and his name kind of popped up and he's just been like one of these helium guys this season that's rising. Tennessee at number five after trading down, taking Keldrick Falk, the edge rusher out of Auburn. The Commanders taking Reuben Bain Jr., edge rusher out of Miami. A lot of edge guys early on. And then finally, the Jets at seven, Jordan Tyson, the wide receiver from Arizona State, the same guy that the Tankathon actually has them currently taking at seven.
There you go.
And then dropping back to 23, he has the Jets taking Brandon Sist, cornerback out of South Carolina. So a wide receiver and a cornerback. I'm not sure those positions would thrill the fan base, Zach, but I mean, they are premier positions in the NFL this day and age.
I mean, Dane's evaluations I trust above almost anybody, I would say. So like in terms of like the prospects themselves, you know, if you think Jordan Tyson's a top 10 receiver, like I am fully about that, even if he went to Arizona State, which probably should be held against him, I personally believe. But like the thing I don't agree with there, and you know, he talks about the idea of punting it to the next year, essentially, and they have all these assets
the
they could trade up. Like the thing is, he doesn't put in the mock, like in theory, what the Browns or the... Who was the other team that traded up? Raiders, what they traded Vegas, up to go up to one and two. The Browns are always willing to trade future assets to go and get somebody.
He did for the Browns, actually. I think he said
let me see.
It would be...
Oh, they have two first rounders.
First rounders. So both first rounders and then a day two pick next year.
Yeah. So like the Browns are one of the few teams that have like the assets to move up in a way that the Jets also can. So the Browns jumping ahead of the Jets, that makes sense to me. The Jets have the ability to go up there if they really like Mendoza or more. If they do, I think the Jets will trade up. And I think they have probably more to offer than the Raiders do. But at 7, where they have them picking, it has Ty Simpson being in the draft and still available. If the Jets really don't like Ty Simpson, then sure, I can see them passing on him. I can't see it getting passed on for a wide receiver personally. I don't know that I see the Jets going receiver top 10. I wouldn't rule it out completely, because I think if you're going bait, Aaron Glenn is making the final call on all draft picks. And, you know, he was with the Lions and they drafted Jahmyr Gibbs a lot higher than anybody expected. Like, he's willing to just pick the best, most talented player. So if they think Jordan Tyson is that, then sure. But I think if Simpson's there, he's your pick. And then I'd be interested in a receiver in the next pick. I get the idea of drafting a corner. And if it's a guy that you think can be the no doubt number one, like his potential is that high, I don't know that necessarily the Jets need to draft a corner in the first round, whereas maybe they did. Like, I think AZ Thomas has shown enough potential that you can go into next year with him, if not like locked in as a starter, then at least competing to be it. Brandon Stevens, as we've talked about, solid. I think Jarvis Brownlee, you know, he's not perfect, but I think he is a talented player. He's young. So I think there's other things I would prioritize more there, like a pass rusher, a wide receiver, depending on what they do on the offensive line, or even a safety. Like, safeties, you don't really like taking them in the first round, but that's been up. They haven't had a star safety really since Jamal Adams. So I think the interesting thing about this offseason for the Jets is you can make the case for any position in the draft and or free agency, because number one, we don't know what they're going to do in free agency in terms of their own guys, which we're going to talk about momentarily. So, like, but theoretically, if they don't re-sign Breece Hall, I think Jeremiah Love would be on the table unless they'd sign somebody in free agency. And Jeremiah Love, that's like goes into the Gibbs line of thinking. Like, oh, he's this guy's an absolute stud. That's worked out for the Lions. You know, but I would say if I was ranking the most likely positions they draft with these two first round picks, I think I would have corner lower than most of the other ones. Like, I think a pass rusher to me is the most important defensive position, because they just don't have a consistent enough pass rush. They don't have a dominant defensive tackle. I like Phillips and I really like Briggs, but those aren't like dominant Quinnen Williams types. Edge rusher, like Will McDonald, I think he has his moments where he looks really, really good, but he also disappears for a while. I think Jermaine's like an all-around guy. I think you want to have three really good defensive ends. So that's where my head's at as we look at it a long time from now. But, you know, the other factor is they're going to have a lot of money in free agency. They're going to be able to go out and get guys if they want them. I don't know that they're going to go on like a Patriots type spending spree, because I don't think they're as close as the Patriots were this offseason, like to being good right away. So I think they'll focus on positions like, you know, we'll probably do a free agency pod before the end of the season. The one I keep going back to, I know Jets fans have talked about it, the center, Tyler Linderbaum from the Ravens, is really intriguing to me. Just like really solidify that O-line with like a veteran center and maybe get some pass rushers or some bodies on defense and then focus everything else on the draft. But we can get into that another day.
Dane compares Tyson to Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
That's his best comp for prime
game. I mean, you'd have a pretty fun wide receiver room at that point with Garrett, Tyson, Adonai Mitchell, Mechie in theory, and maybe you get another veteran free agency. Like, that's a pretty fun group.
To your point on Simpson, I'm just weary for a team to like, hey, this guy dropped to us.
I know.
He's here at 7. We should take him, because you just can't get, you know, you can't get that pick wrong. You can't take that first round quarterback the guy that fell to you. I think of like Mac Jones, like guys are Justin Fields, not really, because the Bears, I guess, did trade up to take him at like 10. But like, there's just, you know, you want to get the guy you want. Which is why they have all these picks. Now, I don't know if Mendoza is that guy either. We talked about he doesn't have he's obviously, he seems to make all the right decisions. He can make the throws to a degree, but he doesn't have like those tools that like stand out and jump off the page at you.
Yeah, I'm intrigued about him as like the Jets quarterback, because I think he'll probably be more ready right away. But like Simpson, the appeal at that, like, yes, he did fall. I think if he falls, it's because of the inexperience above all else, because he just hasn't played much like primetime football. You would have to draft him with the knowledge that you probably don't want to play him right away. And so the Jets have to be willing to do that. They have to get the right bridge quarterback. Like, there's a lot of factors there at that. But the thing is, the draft is after free agency, so they would have decided that at that point already. And it's kind of hard to plan for him falling there. So, you know, that's why I lean towards them trading up in this draft. I just don't think you can wait till the next year. I also could see the scenario, you know, which has been talked about and we've mentioned it, where you draft a non-quarterback first and then you take a flyer on somebody with the second pick. Right. I don't know who that would
that
be.
Feels, you know, you can miss at 23. You can't exactly, miss you can. Top five.
You know, I saw Connor Rogers talking to Joe about that idea. And I think he's not really as high on the, like, the guys that would fall in that range as like a Jackson Dart type, like the John Mateer or the kid from USC. But, you know, as this process goes forward, there might be a guy that looks like he's like a round 1-2 type prospect. And the Jets also, by the way, have a early second round pick probably because of the Cowboys trade. So I guess not that early. They look pretty good right now, but they have two first half of the second round picks, which is also valuable. So
by the way, Simpson, Dane does have him falling to the Steelers, which is fascinating. if the Steelers just talked about that, him. Yeah. After Aaron Rodgers and all that, like maybe they do have their guy there in the waiting. We'll see. I feel like we talk about quarterbacks sliding, and of course there are the examples, Aaron Rodgers being one of them, and Shador last year. But like generally, they go the other way, right? Yeah. Like if he's saying Ty Simpson 14 now, even though he was higher earlier, it still feels like come draft day, teams get antsy about quarterbacks, and
totally.
He ends up in the top 10 again. So
yeah. Exactly. So, you know, this is gonna be a very interesting pre-draft. I mean, our opinions might, by the end of the college football playoffs and the combine and all that stuff, there might be like some clear-cut stuff, but just like how there's no clear-cut like Super Bowl favorite, it doesn't feel like there's a clear-cut like no doubt quarterback or number one pick in this draft. So it's gonna be an interesting process for a team that has two first round picks. So
think about the last time you had to cancel subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
All right. Well, let's go into the free agents. I was originally going to do Dolphins preview next, but I don't know. I don't know if that we care that much about the Dolphins game Sunday. So let's do this isn't free agents available. This is Jets free agents to be coming up this offseason. We're going to go through them and get your take on where they stand with the team now and basically an early projection of if you think they're going to be back or not. The obvious biggest one that we'll start with is Breece Hall.
Yeah. So for each of these guys, what I tried to do was go and look at some other contracts and try to figure out what they could earn either on the open market or what the Jets might want to pay them. Breece is an interesting one because like the top running backs, it's like pretty top heavy because teams just don't really pay running backs that much. So like, you know, Kyren Williams and James Cook both got paid in the offseason. They're from the same draft class. James Cook makes $11.5 million a year. Kyren makes 11. And they rank 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th and 8th among running backs right away. And $11 million like for a prime player really isn't that much. Like at the top is like Saquon and he makes, you know, 20 million years. Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor. Like these are guys that are above Breece Hall's caliber. So I think he would fall more in the James Cook, Kyren Williams range. I actually didn't pull this up. Let me look at what a franchise tag will cost in 2026 real quick because that's a factor here. For Breece, it would cost $14 million for a franchise tag, $11 million for a transition tag. So I think ultimately, if Breece wants to come back to the Jets and they offer him the money he wants, My feeling is it would be something in the range of the Williams contract, which was 3 years, $33 million. If Brees wants more than that and he wants to go into free agency or he doesn't want to come back to the Jets or whatever, then I think they franchise tag him. So I think Brees Hall is going to be a Jet next year. I feel pretty good about that. If I'm putting a percentage on it, I'd say like 60% is my confidence level. So, but yeah, you know, it's funny because before the season, I was predicting he would not be back at the trade deadline. I was predicting he would not be back. And now just based on the way they talk about him and how, you know, you want to go in the next season with some players you feel good about. I think he's going to be a top priority for them.
Yeah. And it feels like he wants to be here again, which is obviously part of it too. John Simpson up next.
John Simpson. So I lumped him and AVT together, but I'll start with Simpson. So Simpson's going to be 29 next season. So he is getting towards 30. I don't think he has had as good of a year as he did last year, but I think he's a solid lineman. Pretty much what I think they have to decide, because Joe Tippmann has been really, really good at right guard. And I think that should be his long-term position. And so if he's your long-term right guard, you figure out what you want to do at center. We'll talk about an option at center in a minute. Then I think you're basically deciding, do we want AVT or John Simpson to be our left guard, or neither, I guess. But I think one of those two guys. And so like from the Simpson angle, I looked at him in like the Isaac Seumalo, Ezra Cleveland, John Runyon, Ben Bredesen type range. So that is 3 years, $24 million, 3 years, $30 million, 3 years, $22 million. So it's like in the $7 to $10 million a year range. I think he's making five right now, five or six. I don't think he'll get much more than that. So I lean towards him. Let's say 3 for $24 million, which is about like $8 million a year. I think that's pretty reasonable, and it's probably the type of thing where it's really a 2 year deal. AVT, the two I looked at were Mekhi Becton last year. He had a good year with the Eagles, but he is injury prone, and there are question marks. He got 2 years, $20 million from the Chargers. James Daniels from the Dolphins got 3 years, $24 million after only playing four games the year before. And so that's like the biggest factor with AVT, obviously, is the injuries. My feeling is, I don't know if it will be the Jets. I personally would bring AVT back, because I just think when he's healthy, he's really good. And you get him and you protect it by either signing somebody else or drafting somebody early, like whatever it is. But if he's healthy and playing to his capabilities, that's a really good offensive line. So
I think maybe you get him at a discount, right? Because
if he wants to sign a multi-year deal, then you can reduce the average per year. I think more something like a 1 year contract in like $8 million to $10 million range with incentives or something like that would be agreeable, and I would do it. I think I would want to bring him back personally, and I get any reticence like fans might have about that. And he's been more on the right side in recent years. I think he started out as a left guard, but I don't know. I think he's a good locker room guy, and on a roster without like a lot of Pro Bowl caliber talent right now, I do think when he's healthy, he is a Pro Bowl caliber player. So.
Yeah, you think back to, you know, them drafting him and then the early signs from him, and it felt like this guy's going to be a staple of this offensive line for 10 years. And it's just like one injury after another and they pile up, and you wonder if he'll ever be healthy. But guys do get right and fix it. And he's still young, obviously. You mentioned
Dan Botter commented that if they resign AVT, he'll get hurt again. And if they let him walk, he'll be an all pro. It's the only way.
That's
the Jets perspective.
The Jets way. You mentioned center. So let's go there next. Josh Myers. Yeah. And you earlier mentioned that this is a spot where you could upgrade through free agency.
Yeah, so I think Myers is perfectly solid, fine veteran center. I don't think he's anything special necessarily. I think he's, you know, if you look at Darren Mooji's offseason, you have to call him a major win because they got him for $3 million and he started every game for a pretty good offensive line, I think. So I would not be opposed to bringing him back. The thing is, as we go through this, by the way, like, number one, the Jets have almost like $100 million in cap space. If they were signed every single one of these guys we're talking about, it really wouldn't even put a major dent in their cap space. Like, that's the crazy part. So like, if they really like all these guys, they could re-sign all of them. There's one we're going to talk about who I don't think will be back, but Myers, centers don't really make that much money. So I looked at like Ethan Posick from the Browns. He's a solid player. He signed for 3 years, $18 million. Myers is going to be 28, I believe. Posick is 30. Garrett Bradbury signed for 2 years, $9.5 million with the Patriots. He had pretty solid time in Minnesota before that. Robert Hainsey with the Jaguars, 321. Like, you're probably only going to have to pay Myers still like in the $5 to $7 million range, which for a starting center isn't bad. So, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to bringing him back if you don't think you can go and get a Linderbaum, but I would aim for an upgrade and just get a really good center to pair with your rookie quarterback. So you have like, you know, so it's a pretty good exchange, and that's an important relationship too. So I'd be interested in upgrading there personally.
Assuming there'll be a rookie quarterback.
Yes.
All right. On the defense, Quincy Williams.
Yeah. That was the one I was alluding to. So it's a complicated one because they just paid Jamie and Sherwood. And there's a lot of layers to the Quincy part of this. Like on one hand, he is a guy that everybody loves in that locker room. He's played very well the last like four games, but he was benched. He did play poorly at the beginning of the season. His brother was traded away. He was just nominated for the Walter Payton Man of the Year award for the Jets today. So like, I don't know. It's like, and he's turning 30 next year. So there's so many, like he's better than Jamie and Sherwood. I think most people would agree with that. Sherwood has had a bad year and I don't think they can really get out of that contract. So do you want to pay two linebackers, one of them turning 30? I just don't see that personally. And I think Quincy is going to look across and he's going to see that Jamie and Sherwood just got paid 3 years, $45 million. And he's going to say, I'm better than him. I've been here longer and I deserve that. I don't know that he's going to be dying to come back after the getting benched and the brother and all that stuff. But, I don't think he's worth 3 years, $45 million either. I looked at Aziz Al-Shahir, who's 28, got 3 years, $34 million from the Texans. Robert Spillane from the Patriots, 3 years, $33 million. That's around $11 million a year. That's probably what he'll want. I'm curious if Quincy can get it because he's had a weird year. But I don't see him coming back personally. And then linebacker becomes a pretty big need because, you know, if you don't believe in Sherwood, and, you know, Sherwood's a captain who got benched for a quarter one game. So like it's just been a rough year for him. You need to go into next year with if not a game changer, like not to, I think they're going to sign Alex Anzalone from the Lions. I feel pretty good about that. I think Anzalone and Aaron Glenn are like best friends. They still talk. There was all these stories about how Anzalone knew what Glenn wanted or was going to say before he would say it when they played together, when he was with him in Detroit. And I heard last summer that there was a feeling that he wanted to be reunited with him, and you know, he's going to be free agent. I don't think the Lions are going to re-sign him. So I anticipate you bring him in, let him be the captain of the defense, let Sherwood do what he did a year ago, and you move on from Quincy Williams.
All right. Nick Folk, who will be 42 years old, but is kicking better than he ever has this year. Yeah. I mean, it seems like if he wants to play football, he'll play football with the Jets at this point, right?
Yeah. I can't imagine they want him to leave. It's never good practice to pay kickers too much. It's probably year to year. He's making $2.875 million. Kickers don't really make a lot. Like Chris Boswell on the Steelers, who is one of the best kickers in the league. He's only 34, so he's significantly younger than Folk. He makes $5 million a year. So I think you could probably give Folk a one-year deal worth $4.5 million or something like that.
He's basically been the best kicker in the NFL this year, you could say. Yeah.
Although he wasn't even in the top 10 in the fan voting, so...
Yeah,
that's some BS. The only ones that were in the rankings were Austin McNamara and Andrew Beck, to give you an idea of the state of the Jets this year. They were in the top 10.
Yeah. Kenny Nwangu.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would bring him back personally and just keep rolling back this elite special teams unit. He's $1.5 million this year. People who are kick returners exclusively don't really make a lot of money because he doesn't do anything. I mean, he's also a gunner on special teams. So, he does have some value. He makes $1.5 million, like I said. Give him $3 million. Like I think you want to bring him back and pair him with Isaiah Williams for another year. I think he'll have interest though in free agency, I would guess.
John Metchie, I would imagine, will be inexpensive considering, you know, what they gave.
Yeah, so he's a restrictive. He's a restrictive free agent. If they give him the right of first refusal tender, I believe it's like $3 million. I would think they would do that. Even if they don't tender him, they could still re-sign him. I guess if they wanted to pay him less than that, but I think they'll bring him back. I know he had three drops last week, but he also was running the right routes and getting open. And I don't know that the drops are going to be a recurring thing. I guess we'll find out, but I don't see any issue with bringing him back.
Yeah. That's not part of his history. So you feel like it was a fluke. All right. And last one. And this one's for all the Jets fans out there, Michael Clemens.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, a franchise tag for a defensive end would be $26.5 million. Unrelated to Michael Clemens, actually. I just wanted to say that's what it would be. Yeah, I mean, would it surprise me if they brought him back? It would absolutely not, because I think the coaches like him.
The coaches love him, right? Every coaching staff loves him.
If he is your fourth defensive end, you're perfectly fine.
Yeah,
and true. I don't think he'll be the third defensive end ever again. So if you're saying, if they're confident they're going to draft one or if they go and sign one, maybe he comes back. I'd lean towards him not being back. Maybe he goes to San Francisco or something, but he actually might have more interest than you would think. Kind of like how Javon Kinlaw went out and got like $15 million a year somehow from the Commanders. I don't know the whole game.
Well, like he looks the part, year, right? He's got
the classic, like first, the guy you want walking off the bus first kind of guy. Cause he looks that way. But yeah, so we just had to do
sometimes
that
those guys look good and on a free agent spreadsheet.
And that he's like the perfect guy for free agency. Is always funny because when you're a fan base, when your team signs a guy, you start looking at his bio and be like, oh, he played this many games. He's this age. He's, you know, he's got this, these measurables. Like he could be pretty good for us without like actually knowing the background. I think the best way to figure out how you should feel about a guy is to see how the fan base that lost him reacts, because I think fans, like if it's a name, it's somebody you've heard of, then they get excited when it doesn't actually matter that much. Like I think of the Jarvis Brown getting traded from the Titans. Everybody was really angry in Tennessee. So you're like, oh, okay. So this is a pretty good signing.
When Phillips left the Vikings.
Yeah, stuff like that. But you've definitely had the flip side of that where your team signed somebody and the fans are like, oh, maybe he'll be good with us. Like he's an offensive lineman that's started a bunch of games. Well, there's probably a reason he's available also. That's usually the case. So Clemens is one of those guys that you're going to see a fan base sign him and get all excited about it.
And then he'll get up in the press conference and he'll have some like sharp, like quick one-liners and they'll fall in love with him. And then he'll make stupid penalties. But anyway,
you really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
All right, Dolphins preview coming up. The best way to look at this game, I feel like, is to look back on the first one and maybe like both these teams have changed, have progressed, have come a long way. That game, if you may remember it, week 4 down in Miami, the Jets' house of horrors continued as they lost their 10th in a row, 26-21. Both teams entered that game 0-3. McDaniels very much on the hot seat. It felt like if the Dolphins lost that game, there was a chance he would be fired right then. He kind of like wavered on and off the hot seat for a while. Now he seems fairly safe with the way they're playing. But the Jets turned it over 3 times. Obviously, no takeaways. At that point, they had not had a takeaway and wouldn't get one for a long time. Brutal turnovers, though. They fumbled the second half kickoff away. And Braylon Allen fumbled going into the end zone. And then they ended up losing by 5 points. So, but since then, the Dolphins have now won 3 in a row and 4 out of 5. And the Jets have obviously won games, which is nice. So, and traded away players and still been better. So I think, you know, you look at this game on paper and the Dolphins seem like a much better team now than they were then. The Jets on paper aren't a better team, but seem to be playing better.
Yeah. I mean, it is interesting. I think Mike McDaniel felt like was definitely going to get fired around that point of the season. And if he feels like he might be safe now, they've turned things around. They lost Tyreek that day. And then I guess Jalen Waddle has been pretty good since then, but a lot of it's been around the running back, Devon Achane, who just looks phenomenal.
Games for Achane, 174 in that blowout of the Bills, which was really shocking and kind of sparked this win streak. Then 120 against the Commanders and 134 against the Saints last week.
It's just funny because that week 4 game, it felt like these two teams were at a low point, two of the worst teams in the NFL, everybody making fun of them. Should Aaron Glenn be fired after 1 year? When is Mike McDaniel going to get fired on his way to the plane? Like one of these weeks, like one of those things. But the Dolphins traded away Jalen Phillips, fired their GM, turned it around. The Jets, I wouldn't say the Jets turned it around. They're still 3-9, but played a lot better. They're much better coached. This is a group that is not going to have a talent advantage any week anymore. And they're still competing. So it's just interesting seeing them both at these places now. And I think this is, I don't know if good game is the right way to say what Sunday will be, because I don't know that a lot of these Jets games are like good anymore. It's like you wait three quarters and then finally some good football starts happening. Because like I was texting you during this last Falcons game, I was like, "Well, you're not missing much." Or I said, "We're gonna have a record."
Yeah, I didn't understand it because I had because
by the time you looked, it had been like a good fourth quarter. So
yeah, exactly.
So that's like how the Jets are gonna be. But I don't know. I think it could be an interesting game, and it's gonna be a nice measuring stick for this coaching staff, because I don't think the Dolphins are like eons more talented. They are more talented, but they don't pass the ball really either. Like Tua has like 500 yards total in this three game winning streak. He has two touchdowns and three picks. Achane has been running wild. Their defense has been solid. Anthony Weaver's done a good job with that group. So it's not an easy matchup by any stretch, but it's a very winnable game for the Jets. And at this point, if you want to keep them, like they're not going to get the number one pick unless they lose out, I guess would be the only shot they had at it. But even then, like that requires like the Titans to win games. I don't know. I think the Jets could win this one, and I think I'm leaning towards picking them. I think I did on my pod with Connor earlier in the week. I believe the line, I don't know if you have the line in front of you. I think I can pull it up real quick. The line is Jets plus 2.5. Sorry. So they're underdogs. So I think the Jets at least cover. And you know, if you go into the last half of the season with four wins and you got Jaguars, Saints, Patriots, Bills, like the Jets are probably headed towards winning five games if they beat the Dolphins. And if they don't beat the Dolphins, they might only win four.
Yeah. The Saints game seems like a win the way that team is playing. It is interesting the way they've turned it around with the running game. Cause when you do think of Mike McDaniels, you think of like the exciting, like offense with the different looks in the passing game and that sort of thing. And he's really just kind of, I guess it's a credit to him. He's looked at how the roster is right now with his quarterback and without Tyreek. And he's really leaning on the running back, which is, like I said, a credit to him. If this Dolphins team, Zach, was in the North, they'd be in the playoff hunt. I'm just saying the way they're playing and the way the rest of that division's playing.
Well, I think they're in those,
maybe they can catch.
You know. I think they're in those in the hunt graphics at that the NFL.
Oh, have they snuck up into there at five?
They are, because they're 5-7, so they're like,
I guess if you win out
or whatever, so
you can probably lose one more and be there. But so the Jets can spoil the Dolphins' season this weekend.
Sure can.
All right, let's move on to the picks.
You were
red hot.
I know,
red hot. 2 weeks in a row. Yeah, Zach with 14s back to back.
Although I was just informed today that I'm not eligible to win the pool. So
yeah, you know, I had to break.
What's the point of anything, you know?
Yeah, well, it gives people some bragging rights. You're up to 53.8% for the season too, which means if you were actually betting these games, you'd be in the black, which is good. You're in the top 10 though, Zach. Very impressive at 9. At the top, I think this is a new leader. Although we didn't do this last week, but Rich T. Ryan, 150 total. He was not great last week, so I guess he was probably in the lead already after a 14-point week in week 12. He has a one-game lead over Sisyphus Jets, and then Chai Jets Fan 24 also tied there. And then Jauncey, who was the leader the whole first half of the season, still within striking distance, two games back at 146 points. So that's your standings. Let's take a look at this week's picks. I already put mine in for this week. There's some interesting spreads this week. By the way, you said you were taking the Jets. I took Miami.
Wow. Very negative.
Some interesting games though. Like
there are some
tonight.
Tonight's
Detroit,
a great
Dallas.
Game. This is one of the better Thursday night games I can remember.
Yeah, Dallas looks good on Thanksgiving. And I just feel like they
look really good.
They take a step back.
I don't know, man. Connor said this the other day, but like if the Cowboys can find a way into the playoffs, like they're kind of scary because their offense is as good as any offense and their defense is looking pretty good now with Quinnen, and they got healthy and they're getting Trayvon Diggs.
They owe it all to the Jets. Week.
Yeah.
Yep.
The Cowboys are, if they make the playoffs, they're scary to me. So
Baltimore, Pittsburgh is obviously a huge game in that division.
5.5 is pretty big spread.
Yeah. Agreed.
I'm not touching that game.
Don't go near that. Other interesting ones. I took the Bengals over the Bills. Yeah. I feel like the Saturday Bengals.
Plus six.
Yeah, with the plus six, I just think, and I think they could win that game. The Bills are just Jekyll and Hyde. And
they really are.
Yeah. Like they're ready for another kind of stinker. And I feel like the Bengals are going to make things interesting with Burrow back. Yeah. And I feel like they don't end up making the playoffs, but like maybe they're in
it. It's too hard.
Final week. Yeah.
I put Houston plus 3.5 and I put Chicago plus 6.5.
I did Chicago. That's a weird spread to me. The way the Bears have been playing.
I think it's because the Bears generally just win close games, but they beat up the Eagles pretty good. So I don't know. Yeah. The Packers are looking better, but I don't know. So the Bears have, it's funny. The NFC is so crazy that if the Bears lose, they could go from 1-7 in the standings.
Everybody's
because of the parity. But Houston's defense has been really good.
That would be it for Kansas City, right?
They'd be toast.
If the Texans win at Kansas City, that's it for the Chiefs.
The Texans also kind of need that game, though, just like keep rising and have a real shot. So that's an interesting one. Yep. The Browns-Titans might be the worst game of the year.
I took the Titans because I feel like they've just been on such a... I feel like Cleveland...
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like the Titans are going to win one at some point and this is it. And then suddenly that race for the top pick becomes really interesting if there's no one loss team or one win team and everybody's kind of like two or three wins, it gets real fun. All right. And then any of these other ones you want to touch? Chargers is interesting.
I put Chargers plus 3. The Chargers aren't great, but I don't know. It just feels like the Eagles are going to keep spiraling and they're going to be on national TV when they do it. So like if, I don't know, like I feel like that team just looks like it. Nobody's having fun. Everybody hates each other. They're the most talented team maybe in the NFC.
Doesn't that happen every year?
But this year, it's like louder, it feels like. It's every time Nick Sirianni just promotes somebody from within the offensive coordinator, everything goes terribly. And so every year it feels like, is he going to be on the hot seat this next year? Because I don't think you can fire him coming off the Super Bowl. But if they go in the next year and they're disappointing, like I don't know. Like you can convince me they lose in the first round or they win the Super Bowl this year too. Like that's the level of talent they have. So that's, I don't know, man. It's crazy. Like, cause I'm from that area and everyone in my family are Eagles fans and I'm in like group chats with Eagles fans and they're all like losing their mind. And I just it's so funny watching fan bases like that freak out. And then I see the Jets fans like being like, yay, we got a third win. We're competing hard. And they haven't made the playoffs for 15 years. Like the Eagles, I know no Eagles fan wants to hear it, but like you don't know how good you have it. Like just appreciate what you have a little better.
I was in that area for Thanksgiving because my wife's from outside of Philly. So I went down there and like the sky is falling. The vibe, the sports gossip show that is in the Athletic Podcast Network now does picks based on vibes. Every week they don't talk about the talents or anything. It's just straight vibes picks. And the Eagles may be like last. They may be the worst team in the NFL for vibes at this point, but the most talent. So we'll see. They'll be fun to watch. Anything else before we say goodbye?
I don't think so. Maybe we'll have another victory pod for you guys on Monday. We're going to try and get Dane on soon and start turning the page to the off season. I feel like the week of that Saints game actually might be a good week to have Dane on now that I think about it, because that's like the ultimate draft pick bowl. So,
that's a good call.
So maybe we hit him up ahead of time since he's always busy. So, we'll try to get some guests coming up as the season winds down. And, you know, we only have five games left now. Is that right?
Five left.
So we're in the home stretch.
We're going to get there, everyone. We're going to get there. Thanks, everybody, for joining us here on the Flight Plan Podcast. We will talk to everybody soon.